Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Confess that we need you. We confess that we need you every hour, every minute. We need you right now. Lord, I want to confess that I need you because I don't have anything of value to say apart from you over these next few moments. It all has to be from you and about you. So, Father, would you speak to us now? Lord, I pray that We believe the scripture that says you inhabit the praise of your people. So as people have praised you in their living rooms this morning, you are there. As people have praised you in this room this morning, you are here. Father, we're asking you to be the center of our attention, to be the focus of our affection, and to be the one who brings transformation in us right now. Father, we need you. Please move among us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will. It is so good to have you here for week 11 of our series entitled Essential. We really just have one more Sunday before we take a break for the remainder of the holiday season and move into a special series that's going to be great together. But we're thankful for this time today. If you have your Bible, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 13 in just a moment. But I brought some items today, and I want to ask you, if I were to ask you what items most remind you of 2020, I brought some, I think. So first of all, see if this is not the most 2020 thing. We had the great run on toilet paper earlier in the year, and I don't know, some of you, if you've stocked it up, you know, that's good, but we had the run, we've got that. How about this? Hand sanitizer. Many of you used it as you came in the building. This reminds us of 2020. Now more than ever. How about these? Clorox or Lysol wipes. Listen, these are like gold right now. Still, even 8 months later. In fact, we're going to auction this one off for missions after church today. So the starting bid will be $100. If you would like those, we'll give them to you. How about these? Sad to say, everybody can give a big groan and we all can agree that, yes, we don't love the mask. But it represents 2020 and we understand that just the same. I also have some pictures that represent 2020. What about this? Zoom. Now, it's a beautiful thing and it helps us to be able to connect, but boy, aren't we tired of Zoom. Amen. Here's some things that have nothing to do with COVID but that remind us of 2020. How about the I voted sticker? Now, some of you, you voted, you thought it's a big deal. Here's something else that reminds you of 2020. I voted again and again and again. I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I said that. Hey, listen. That's a joke, so don't be offended. If you're going to send me bad emails, it's Don at Albertville FBC, D-O-N. So you send them to him and he'll do. But we can see things that remind us of 2020. But did you know there's a Bible verse that I believe is the most 2020 verse in all the Bible? And it's James chapter 4, this passage right here. Look at starting in verse 13. It says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." Somebody say amen. We just don't know, do we? And he says, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Now that is the 2020 verse, I believe, that represents this year and all that's happening. Is that idea right here at the beginning. If we can say we know what we'll do today, tomorrow, and next year, and what city we'll go to, and how we'll spend our money, the truth is we do not know what tomorrow may bring. If 2020 has taught us anything at all, it's that control is an illusion. We are not in control of our calendar, our time, and everything around us. If we think we're in charge, we're mistaken. God truly is sovereign, and he is in charge. In Job chapter 14, verse 5, Job is speaking, and he says this, talking about man. He says, "Since his days are determined, and the number of his months is with you, God, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass." Job says, God, you have man's days determined, and you know how many months he will be, and he can't go past the limit, not 1 minute past the limit. Then Psalm 139, verse 16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." God knows our days before they even came to be. So here's what I would say to you as a reminder. God has numbered your days and God has ordained your days. Every last one of us. You can't surprise God. You've not surprised God. You won't surprise God. And the world has never caught God off guard. Aren't you thankful? For all that happens in the world, he is sovereign, and there is great hope in that truth. We can rest in that. So what do we learn from James' words today? Well, let's look together, just three or four things. First, the scripture again, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. If you're writing things down, write this down. Make plans, but use a pencil. It's the truth. Make plans, but use a pencil. The ruler of the universe just may overrule your ideas. I've seen him do it in my life. I've seen him do it in yours. What did you have planned over the last 8 months that did not come to fruition? Maybe good things you planned to do, but that didn't happen. I made a list of things about our family and about even our church. And here's what I wrote down. Things that we had planned that were going to be great, but just didn't happen. First of all, our family, the last week of March, we were going to go spend a week with Mickey Mouse, and we were going to give him all of our money. And we didn't get to go. We didn't get to make that happen. We were going to celebrate our oldest son's graduation from high school and watch him walk across the turf there in Aggie Stadium and see him walk across the little stage and get his diploma. And then COVID caused graduation to move to the end of July. And then 2 days before his actual graduation, he ends up with COVID. So he didn't end up getting to be a part of that. So we missed something that would have been great, but missed out on that. I, along with several others of our church members here, were going to spend a week on the Amazon River, living on a boat, sharing the gospel with indigenous peoples that have never heard the gospel. We were going to do that earlier this summer. We didn't get to go, but it was going to be a great and wonderful opportunity. The truth is, our faith family had people that were going to Alaska, North Carolina, another trip to North Carolina, multiple places to share the gospel this year, to invest in our mission partners, and none of that was able to happen because of 2020 and what's gone on. And then truthfully, we had over 70 people signed up, ready to go to start ministry with our Church on Wheels, our Cal Bus, and all of that had to be put on hold until just recently. And so things change. Even the good things we have planned do not always work out. But can I ask you, what good did happen when the circumstances changed? What good happened in your life when COVID hit and all the circumstances changed? I wrote down a few for our family. We have eaten more meals together as a family around our dinner table than in many, many years together. We've had much more time to spend in our home together, and that's been a good thing. I personally made a decision early on in the middle of all this craziness that I was going to take my health serious, and after I'd spent all that money to get a brand new heart valve in open heart surgery last year, I didn't want to die because I wasn't taking care of myself, so I've decided to get healthy, lost 40 pounds, working hard on that, trying to do better. So for me, it's been good to sit back and stop and say, I want to be better. Personally, and I probably wouldn't have done that if we didn't have some time to stop and slow down and make some changes. I will tell you this, for our church, when we had to move online, and still, even to this day, though we will have now a couple hundred people or a little more, between 200, 230, 240, I don't know. We'll have, between both of our services in person, there's way more than that participating online, double that online, participating. So what does that mean? We have met multiple families who have engaged and connected with our church that never would have any other way apart from what happened when we've invested in a bigger way in ministry online. What God has taught me over the last few years is I have always treated online, live stream, Facebook, I've treated those things as tools, but can I tell you, they're not tools, it's a mission field. There are believers who are getting to use them as tools, but there are tons of people who don't know Jesus right at our fingertips. And so we say, welcome, and we hope that you can discover Jesus here. We've seen that. We've also seen that even through loss and difficulty and having to be separated from family that you wish you could be with, but for their health safety, you're not able to be with them, that we've learned to appreciate when we do have time with family and friends more. Aren't you more appreciative of that time? Oh, it happens in our lives. So the things we used to take for granted, now they have greater value to us. And that is a good thing. It is a good thing. So when you think about the fact that we can make plans, but they might change, God is the ruler of all things. And so he will get our attention. He will move in and through circumstance. He allows things that happen And then he oftentimes will stop things from happening, but he is at work among us. So can I give you some homework? Just as Don led us for our congregation the first time in singing the goodness of God, can I encourage you this week to take an inventory of all the good things that God has done in your life? Not just the things that you planned and are thankful he did, but the unplanned, unexpected ways he's been good to you in the middle of something difficult. Would you do an inventory and see what you come up with for yourself? I love that song, "All My Life You Have Been Faithful." That's in the good and the bad. All my life, you have been so, so good. So with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. So with the good and the bad, would you list the things where God has been so good and what he's done in your life? So what else can we learn from James' words? Look at the second half of verse 14. He says, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." If you're writing things down, here's what I would say. Life is fast, so make it count. And that seems oversimplified, but it's a good truth. Life is fast, so make it count. Can I say to you, friends, life is fast and eternity is too long to spend your time doing things that don't matter. It's just the truth. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. He says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Some translations translate the Greek word for evil as the word fast. It tells us, be wise and walk as wise, not as unwise, because the days are fast. They're evil. Either way, we all can agree that life moves at a very fast pace, and the older we get, the faster it moves. Amen? That's true. Faster and faster and faster. So can I encourage you to make sure that you will invest your time into godly things? Make it count. Make it count for what matters with your family. Make it count. I can't think of how many times over the years as the church planter, when we were living in Maine, I especially would burn the candle at both ends and would often put in way, way, way too many hours of work and effort, and it led to pretty much a breakdown at one point for me personally and a difficult time. But I think about the time that I lost with my sons and my wife it was much more important that I ministered to them. Here I am now, 10 years removed from that almost, and though that was an incredible season and God did incredible things and God is still using the fruit of that work there in a huge way, more than we could have ever dreamed would have happened. But I think, my goodness, how I missed out on some of the investment in my own family because I was so busy trying to do the things that God had called me to do. Can I encourage you, friends, we want to be about doing the things that God calls us to do, but part of what God's called you to do is to disciple your family. And part of what God's called you to do is to make disciples of friends around you. So when I tell you that life is short, make it count, that's not a plea to get you all to sign up to work the nursery next Sunday. That's not a plea just to get you all to sign up to do the next event we have. The reality is that's part of it, serving together. But I want to encourage you to invest in the life that God's called you to live out among those around you. Let's keep going. James 4:15 says, "Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" So if you're writing things down, here's what I would say. Seek God's will in all things. We seek God's will in all things. We ask him to direct our plans. Now, I can't tell you how many times in 30 plus years of ministry I've had people come to me and say, "Chris, I'm trying to decide about A or B. How do I know what God's will is?" Or, "Chris, I'm thinking about asking fill in the blank to marry me. How do I know if this is God's will?" Or, "Chris, I'm thinking about this job offer or this job offer. How do I know which one is specifically what God wants me to do?" If you've ever asked me a question like that, you know my answer. It's the same answer I've been given for close to 30 years. And I'm going to tell it to you right now. Anytime someone asks me what is God's specific will for their life or how do they discern his specific will for their life, I always start with the same question, and that is this: are you spending consistent time in God's word right now? Because here's the reality, what I believe with all my heart. I don't think God has any responsibility to tell you specifically items for your life if you're not willing to live the specific items he's already given you. And so we start here with his word. Do you realize there are thousands of places in Scripture where it tells you God's will for you and for me? Thousands. We don't have to wonder. It's here. It's right here. Now, I know we all want to know the specifics about certain things, but just start with this. And I've found that God tends to work all that out. And so we do start here with his word. Then verse 17 says it again. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So we start by seeking God's will. And then once we know it, we better do it. Because the scripture here tells us that if we know the right thing to do and we fail to do it, it is sin. Now, I have to tell you, there are a number of times in my life where I've known what the right godly response was, and I didn't do it. There are a number of times that I knew the right thing to do, and my life and my lack of discipline in certain ways didn't follow through. The scripture is very clear right here in saying that is sin. It's sin. We have to call it like it is in our own lives. And so it's important that we don't just think, I want to be about not doing the bad things. It's easy to say, I don't want to do all the bad stuff. And we can find plenty of lists of bad stuff in the Bible not to do. Those are sins of commission, things we do not want to commit. We do not want to commit this sin or that sin. But the sins of omission is the things we know to do, but that something keeps us from doing. The Bible calls that sin as well. So you may ask, well, Chris, what keeps us from doing the things that we know are right? What keeps us from doing the right thing? Three things really quickly. Here they are. First of all, this is what I think happens for a lot of us. We are too busy. We are too busy. I think that's one of the reasons we don't often do the right thing. Here's what I would say. Satan didn't have to make you bad because you made yourself too busy. Amen or oh my, but that's the truth. For some of us, we get so busy, we can't do the right things God's called us to do because we are so busy. Now, I understand because I am someone that lives a pretty high capacity, busy life myself. And some of you are way busier than me. But the reality is, here's what I've learned in my own life. Satan can try to make me bad or I can make myself busy. But in the end, those both have the same result. And that's me not living out what God's called me to live out. Now, I can't just blame Satan. Sometimes it's my own calendaring. It's my own inability to say no. It's my own inability, or it's my own desire to want to be involved in everything, or my kids to have everything, or me to have everything, and all those kinds of things. Can I speak to parents in the room for just a moment? Everybody else, if you've already raised yours and you feel like, ooh, I don't have to do that now, let me just speak to the parents for a moment. I say this in love, but I want to speak to you something I believe is true. And not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a father who has messed up in this area at times. But I'm also wearing the pastor hat because I see it in sad response in some families. Who said you had to travel every other weekend to have your best life? So many folks are always gone and always busy and always so much happening. And I hope you will enjoy life and do things. But if you are always doing that, you will miss out on helping your young children develop that discipleship model. And can I also say this? I hope your kids are athletic and I hope they're involved in all kinds of extracurricular things and theatrical things like ours are, all kinds of stuff. I hope you do it all. But can I encourage you? I hope they like to do it all, but I don't hope they do it all. Because what I've learned, we can get so busy in this day and age. When I was a kid, every sport had a season and the season ended and you didn't let the two mix each other. And now every sport has a season. It's 12 months. And it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going. And I've seen parents run themselves ragged trying to get their kids somewhere every Saturday, every Sunday, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've been there myself. And that is so difficult. And can I encourage you? It's okay every once in a while to stop and say, no, we're going to sit this season out. We're going to sit this one time out. You will not ruin your child's life, but you might help them. The truth is, for some parents, not has nothing to do with kids now. Maybe we're working so hard. It's 7 days a week, 15, 16, 17 hours a day. We can work so hard to have nice things for a home and a nice home we're never there to be a part of. So I'd encourage you to try to find a little balance for yourself, for your own good, because I have been a workaholic, and can I tell you, there is nothing God-honoring in that. It just made me tired and miserable and unhealthy. And my family lost out in that regard. So I want to encourage you with that. Now you say, is this all just a gift to come to church more? Honestly, not. It is designed to encourage you to disciple your families more. And I will say, though, that if we make choices to assemble together, if you're here and if you're watching online, you've made that choice. So that's good. But I would encourage you to don't get stuck in the place where those things kind of fly by the wayside, because what happens is, what, again, I've said this even recently, what we treat is not that important, something that's okay just once every once in a while, our kids will grow up to treat as not necessary at all. And so we want them to be discipled. We want them to grow in Christ, because life's going to be tough when our kids are older. Things don't seem to be getting better. They seem to be getting worse. So we've got to prepare them to live out that message. Now, again, not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm in the same boat myself. I want to make sure that we're keeping those right priorities. And I would simply say this, find ways to serve together. When we're serving our community, we're serving civic leagues, things that we're a part of, that's great. We serve all that, serving the church. It doesn't have to just be in the church, but find a way to serve the Lord by serving others. And if you're too busy to serve in any way, quit something. It's the best advice I can give you. Verse 17 again, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So sometimes what keeps us from doing the right thing is we're too busy. The second thing is this, we are too sometimes indifferent. We are too indifferent. I need God to break my heart for what breaks his heart. I need God to give me a passion for things that he is passionate about. This will require change on your part, and it will require change on my part. It is easy to settle into comfort and to lose the passion of what God is doing around us and how he would have us serve in our neighborhoods and serve in our community and serve around the world. And so we want to ask God to break our hearts for what breaks his. We want to ask God to give us passion for what gives him passion and be involved. Can I encourage you though? Some of us have settled into our own way of thinking and our own way of doing life. And because of that, now the opposite sort of happens. And here's the best way I can describe it to you. What you understand of God, let me say it this way. If God hates everything you hate and God loves everything you love, then you've probably made God in your image instead of letting him make you in his. See, what I've learned is that the more I grow in him, there are things I wish were different, but I've got to follow what God loves and what God hates, and I can't let my own ideas and thoughts get in the way. If we have reduced God down to he thinks like I think, he likes what I like, he does everything the way I would do it, and he will be interested in what I'm interested in, listen, we are making him in our image. We have to do the opposite. Let him make us into his image and ask him, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Give me a passion for what you're passionate about. Let me see people with your eyes. Don't let me miss somebody. Let me see them how you see them and feel for them the way you feel for them. When I ask God to do that for me, he often will do some surgery in my life and chip away things that are of the world. Now, I realize that I had my own thoughts and opinions that weren't God's. And so I want to seek him in that way. So we can become indifferent. If you have any level of indifference in your life, can I encourage you? Don't beat yourself up over it. Just today, simply ask God, give me a passion for you again. Give me a passion for your word again. Give me a passion to serve you again, to love people the way you love people, to see people the way you see people. I have to pray that from time to time. So do you. I want to encourage you in that way. So what keeps us from doing the right thing? Sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we're too indifferent. And then lastly, sometimes we are too deceived. It happens in all of our lives. Sometimes, if I'm being honest, Chris Johnson's way of doing things looked better to me than God's way of doing things. If I'm being totally honest, sometimes I feel like my way of doing something or what I want to do is more fun and will be better and more fulfilling than what God says. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm right. I'm just telling you how I feel. My feelings can be wrong, but there are times that I feel that way. And why? Because I'm deceived. We have an enemy who deceives us. Satan deceived Adam and Eve. He tried to deceive Jesus, and he's been deceiving you and me as long as we've been alive. From the beginning of time to today, think about it in these terms. He deceived Adam and Eve by tempting them and saying, surely God did not say to avoid this tree. He deceived or tried to deceive Jesus by tempting him and saying, I can give you all the kingdoms if you will just worship me. Bow down and worship me. And then he's been tempting you and he's been tempting me for our entire lives, saying things like, you know, you deserve this. No one's ever going to know. Or this is going to make you happy. Or yeah, look at that person. Compare them to yourself. I mean, he's done that in my life and yours. It's often subtle, sometimes not so subtle, but he deceives. So we need to pray and ask God to help us to be have spiritual eyes that are open, that we wouldn't be deceived into thinking that our plans are better than his, but that we could trust his plan even when we don't feel like it. So it's learning to be disciplined and deliberate and doing what God says instead of what we prefer. I got to be honest, that's sometimes hard for me. I want the easier way from time to time. Listen, I'm good at sometimes holding on to a grudge or being angry at someone that did something that I think was wrong, when the truth is, if I stop and ask, how does God feel about them? He often feels different than me. Where I feel anger, I think he often shows mercy. Where I want to give up on them, I stop and think how he's never given up on me. When I think about how they're so undisciplined and so uncommitted and so whatever the case may be, I stop and look at my own life and think, my goodness, what has God thought of me over the years? And so we want to be sure that we have the eyes that can see the same way that he does. So to wrap up what this scripture says and how we live it in our lives, think about this entire passage, James 4, 13 through 17. It basically tells us this. If you wrote these down, make plans, but do so in pencil. It's good to have a plan and a thought of where you're going, but trust that God is in charge and he is sovereign. So because of that, we seek God's will in our daily living. We seek his will in our daily calendar planning. We seek his will in stewardship. Find time to slow down and rest. Why? Because the Bible says so. If God rested, surely you and I need to rest. Find time to stop and to allow yourself to be rejuvenated in that way. Find time to serve others around you, because God, the great servant of all, teaches us to do that. Take time to trust his plan and seek his will for daily living. And then lastly, fight hard to do the right things that you already know to do. If you're too busy, quit something. If you're too indifferent, ask God for passion. Ask him to break your heart. Lean in to him. If you're too deceived, just simply say, God, I feel like my way's better. I know it's not. Help me want your way instead. Honesty is the best policy with the Lord. Just tell him, I need you to help me want to do it your way. And then lastly, would you take an inventory of all the good things that God has been doing in your life, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of difficulty? Would you look at the goodness and mercy and grace of God in your life? Have you been blessed? He's good. Even in the tough days, is he good? Yes, even in the tough days. Even in the pain, even in loss, even in joy, in sadness, in grief, even in excitement, even in our own stress, God is good. He's at work among us. So can I encourage you to think in your own life of how you can apply this to you? Maybe for you, it's seeking his will, starting with his word. Maybe for you, it's because you have struggled this year so much because you really haven't had control and you feel the need to control. It's that you stop and for the first time you make a commitment to the Lord that says, God, I live open-handed this week. I'll still make my plans. I'll still have what I want to do. But God, I'm asking you to be in control and let me be okay with what you're doing in my life. And maybe for you, you look at your schedule and you carve out some time for your family. You carve out some time for the kingdom of God. You carve out some time to serve others. Maybe for you, it's you look at certain things you want to change. I don't know. Whatever God is saying to you today, I pray you'll respond in the way. For me, truthfully, It is a desire to spend a little more time learning to rest in who God is and let him speak to me, be rejuvenated. And it's a desire to make sure that my life matters and counts in all of the empty moments. The moments when, and I'm not saying that means 24 hours a day, that I should never scroll through Facebook and never look at something, but what it means is that I don't let that become hours of my life where I could be growing in some way or investing in others. I want to invest in people. I want to find a way to build relationships with people in this very non-relational day we're living in right now where it's hard to do that. That's what I want. So I'm asking you to pray for me. I'll pray for you. And then I also just want to be thankful. You've heard me say this multiple times in the last few months. I keep a gratitude journal. I write things down I'm thankful for. This morning when I got here, about 6:30 this morning, I sat down in my office, took out my pad, and I wrote down things I was thankful for. I saw Ty Harris yesterday from Amazon Hope, ran into him. So he was on the top of my list. I'm thankful for his ministry and what God's doing in his life. I saw my in-laws and my father last night. They were next on my list. I'm thankful for the family God has given me. I could tell you on and on down my list, but I just took a moment to stop and think about the goodness of God in my life. And oh, what a difference it makes to live a life of thanksgiving. So I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. It's just for privacy. If you're at home, you can keep your eyes open if you want. The camera's just going to be focused on me. But if you'll take a moment right now, and would you list in your mind at least 5 things you're thankful for, 5 ways that you see the goodness of God in your life, even just this week? What is God doing in your life? What is God doing in unexpected ways, even in trials and tribulations and difficulties? How has he been good? Father God, in this moment, we will sing of the goodness of God. But Father, I pray we could just think it and live it out all day. Lord, I confess that I have been too busy at times to live the life you've called me to. And what's crazy is I can be too busy doing things for you, all kinds of things that probably you didn't tell me to do, but that I think you need me to do. And so, Father, I pray that I could carve away some of that so that I could make disciples of my family, make disciples of friends, others around me, be a blessing the way you called me to. Father, I pray that I would do the same with my resources and finances so that when you tell me to give to something, you tell me to make a difference in someone's life, I'll be able to do that. Lord, I pray for wisdom in that area. Father, I pray for ministry opportunities that involve kingdom purposes. Lord, give us ways to do that, to invest in people's lives. And Father, help us to not be deceived into thinking that our ways are better, but to trust you and your word, dig into your word. You have been so good to our families. Thank you, Father, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to sing this little song again with Don. Invite you to lift it up in praise. Let's sing this together.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing that again with all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. darkest night. You are closer like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. Oh, I have lived in the goodness of God.
Stand with us as we sing all my life.
And all my life you have been faithful.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.